for the kingdom of God. So that's what I'm going to focus on today. Let's pray to get started. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share in our home church and to just look at your plan and how it's being fulfilled globally through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, through people going and serving you, and through faithful givers and prayers and senders and goers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're involved in something great. At First Baptist, we are a part of something much bigger than we could ever do alone as our church. A few weeks ago, we shared specifically, Jennifer and I were able to share on a Sunday night, and some of you were there, specifically what our new role is. And to be honest with you, Rich asked me what it was today, and I had to pull out a business card to remember the title, because I don't even remember what it is. But we spent about half an hour, 45 minutes, sharing with those who came that Sunday night what our new role with International Mission Board is. And so I'm not going to repeat all that this morning, but I wanted to just throw it out there. We're not living in the missionary house any longer, so if you've missed that, we moved out of there about 8-9 months ago. We're living here in Homewood, and we are involved in a ministry globally with International Mission Board, part of our global leadership team, working to help oral communicators, oral learners, people who can't read and write, people who don't have access to God's Word, the thousands and thousands of people groups around the world who don't have access to God's Word, helping them gain access to God's Word. So that involves projects in Latin America, North Africa, and Southeast Asia in 2020. That's stuff that's on our horizon next year. But we're going to do that based out of here. So I know that's a little bit odd, and we're probably an odd missionary family in more ways than one. But that's one more way that we're a little bit different, is that we're actually, for the next couple of years, we're going to be based here in Birmingham and not back in Lima. I would like to talk today about, in the past we've talked about how churches are to be praying for missions and going on mission trips and giving towards missions, but I am happy that this church is also doing a fourth thing, and that's sending. So we not only are a church that prays for missionaries and supports financially through Lottie Moon Christmas offering and through our tithes and offerings every week, we're not only praying for, we're not only going on mission trips, but we've sent people out of this church. And I think that is something that I'm very happy and proud about. And I love the fact that God is using this church to send people out. And I have to think God could be sending more people out of our congregation as well. That actually should be one of our goals, to see people sent out of our congregation and going and impacting lostness globally. God's plan was, and still is today, that we, people who follow Christ, actively share Christ with other people, and that He would be worshiped amongst all peoples and all nations around the world. It's more than doing good deeds. It's more than going on a humanitarian aid trip. It's more than going and helping someone out financially. It's about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that needs to hear that. Ministry, good deeds, those are wonderful ministry opportunities that our church needs to be involved in, but we never need to forget that we need to proclaim Christ to the people that we're serving. Missions is about proclamation. Really, without proclamation, you do not have missions. Anything less than telling people about how they can have a relationship with Christ, the same relationship that you have, anything less than that is not missions. So I've heard it said that, well, if I can go overseas and I can just love on people, they'll see Christ in me. And I want to tell you, that is not, they may see you, wow, that person's different. That person's a good person. But if you don't tell them about Christ, they won't automatically put two and two together. If the Red Cross can do it, it's probably not missions. Nothing against the Red Cross. But proclaiming Christ and explaining to people how they can follow Christ, how they can have the same relationship that you have, that's what missions is about. This morning, the verse The verse that we read came from Revelation 7:9. This is sort of the theme of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year, the giving. And that is, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, and no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Really, Revelation 7:9 gives us a glorious glimpse as to what's coming. A beautiful gathering of people gathered around, too many to count, it says, too many to count, from all nations worshiping the Father. All nations, all peoples will be worshiping the Father. Not just people like us, not just our families, but people from every tribe and every nation. How is that going to happen? How is it that people in 99 people groups in North Africa who have no access to God's word, who have no Bible, who have no scripture, who have no one there telling them about Jesus, how is it that they will be gathered around the throne, worshiping the Father? It's because people are going to go and tell them about Jesus. That's God's plan. It's always been God's plan that we go and we tell people about Jesus. Multitudes. There will be multitudes of people worshiping the Father for eternity. How will this happen? God has given us an opportunity to be in right relationship with Him through the sacrifice of Christ. And it's only through Christ, only through the sacrifice that Christ made, that we have the opportunity to be redeemed and have the ability to be in communion with the Father. Christ's sacrifice and our obedience is how the Word of God is proclaimed to a world that is dead in sin. That's God's plan. So this morning, unless you're the Snow family or the Barger family, you probably passed multiple churches on your way to church this morning. Maybe if you're a Samford student living at Samford. The rest of you probably passed dozens of churches on your way here. Once I counted, we were speaking at a church in Trustful, and I counted. And I can't remember how many churches, but I counted every church we passed. Maybe that would be a good exercise for you one Sunday. Count the number of churches you pass on your way here. We have the opportunity to go to church. We have opportunity all around us with people who tell us about Jesus. We have witnesses right here. You go to Walmart or you go to a Sam's Club on a Saturday, and there'll be a guy out there, bless his heart, every Saturday preaching to people as they're parked. We have the privilege in our country of having access to God's word, to churches who will preach the word. That is not always the case. Today, researchers tell us that there are 4,488,180,841, probably some more by the time I finish saying that number, unreached people in the world today, out of a total of over 7 billion. There's over 7 billion people in the world. It's hard to fathom. It's really hard to fathom. Those of you who came to visit us in Lima, Lima's a city of 11 million people. And we went up on a Chinese restaurant, and we looked out over the city, and you see what 11 million people look like. I mean, in Alabama, we have 4.5 million people, and we think that's a lot of people. In Birmingham, maybe a million in the whole metropolitan area. If you spread out from North Shelby County all the way up to Gardendale, we're talking about 11 million people in the size of a place probably about not much bigger than the city limits of Birmingham. Population density. 4.5 billion people, it says, are unreached in the world. 4.5 billion people out of 7 billion are unreached. Now, that doesn't mean that the other 3.5 billion or so are all Christians and going to heaven. It just means that they have good access, they have someone, they have access to God's word, they have access to scripture. But it doesn't mean they're all going to heaven. It doesn't mean that they've accepted that. But I want to focus on this 4.5 billion who don't have access. And what are we going to do about that? What is it that we, what is our responsibility? What is your responsibility individually to proclaim the gospel to a lost world? I believe that all of us have that responsibility. It's part of the purpose that God put in us, is to own that responsibility, to make sure that the gospel gets to every small people group all over the world, to everybody. I believe that there has to be more purpose to our life than to live on this planet for 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years, accumulate a bunch of junk that ends up in storage that your kids have to sell. There has to be something else more that we are to accomplish. There has to be a bigger purpose than that for our lives. You think about some important decisions you made in your life. Where to go to college, what to major in, where to work. Those of you who are graduating, you got options of where to go to work. Hopefully you have options. Which do I take? Where do I go? Those are important. Who do I marry? What church do I attend? Important decisions. Wasn't what I wore this morning, do I wear this tie, do I wear that tie, do I wear black shoes, does brown go with this? Those are not important decisions. The most important decision you have to make is to follow Christ. And I believe that most of us who are gathered here this morning probably have done that. Most of us have probably decided to follow Christ. According to Acts 1:8, when we do that, that we will have the power of the Holy Spirit to testify about Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This is a natural consequence of following Christ. The natural consequence of following Christ means we actually follow Him and we have the Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us. So this morning, think about, what is your Jerusalem? What is it that right here where God has placed you, maybe it's your classmates, maybe it's your work, maybe it's family members, but what is the Jerusalem that God has put you in right now that you need to be involved in helping identify lost people, sharing your faith with them? There's opportunities right here in Birmingham, Alabama, to be involved in the Great Commission. You don't have to go to the 99 people groups. God may not be calling you to go to the 99 people groups that are lost in North Africa. There's more than that, but I'm thinking of a specific 99 right now. God can use you to reach the lostness that you find all around you right here. What is your Jerusalem? It starts here. It starts in our Jerusalem, but it goes to the ends of the earth. You may not go to the ends of the earth, but you have the responsibility where you are to be a full participant in the Great Commission. This is where the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you don't do missions by proxy. You can't just say, well, I'll just write a check and that's all I got to do. But that is part of what we depend upon, is for people who don't go overseas and move overseas and transplant their lives overseas. We depend upon churches and individuals to support missions from here. That's what makes it possible for missionaries to go and to serve. Your gifts and offerings allow others to go. I can guarantee you we could not have survived 22 years on the mission field were it not for the gifts of Southern Baptists through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That is a given. It is not an easy place to live. Life is full of surprises every single day. And we depended upon, and we continue to depend upon, the support of churches like First Baptist. Earlier this year, I took a seminar on the history of Christian missions. It was fascinating. I mean, I absolutely loved this seminar. But in the seminar, I was reminded of William Carey. In 1792, William Carey wrote an 87-page pamphlet. And I don't call that a pamphlet. I call that a book. But he wrote an 87-page pamphlet called An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens, in which the religious state of the different nations of the world, the success of the former undertakings, and the practicability of further undertakings are considered. His book would have been 86 pages if he had just shortened his title to Inquiry. This book, this pamphlet that he wrote, revolutionized missions. He's the father of the modern missions movement. His work influenced the next generation, what we call the greatest century of missions, and from in the 19th century. People like Lottie Moon, David Livingston, Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, missions giants came out because of his pamphlet. That basically, his premise was, he argued that the Great Commission applies to all of us, not just the apostles. And he went through and he outlined how the Great Commission applies to each and every one of us. He went on to argue that, and this you got to think about what's happening in the 19th century, is the world is being conquered and there's all these expeditions going on all over the world. And he said, if businesses can send their best people and send expeditions to India and to Africa, and they're going into the furthest reaches, to the last, they're trying to manipulate and take advantage of every last ounce of resources in these countries they're going to, shouldn't Christians also be going? Shouldn't Christians be going to the last village and not taking advantage of them, but to share with them the good news that we have in Christ? It was during this time that Lottie Moon went out with the IMB. She's sort of our IMB William Carey, because she wrote to churches and she asked them for support. And she wrote and she wrote and she wrote and she asked for support and she got it. She was about this tall and she was a firecracker and she stayed after it. And today we recognize Lottie Moon as one of the heroes of Southern Baptist missions because she helped create support, financial support for missions. So, who can go as a missionary? Who can be a missionary? If you want to serve with the IMB, we send Southern Baptists to be missionaries. We don't have an upper age limit, so those of you who are sitting here going, well, I'm over 65, so I can't go. I wish I could. We really don't have an upper limit. I think the Cooks can testify to that. I think they're still in their 50s probably, but they went out at an advanced age, at a second career, maybe a third career. There's all sorts of opportunities to go and serve as a missionary. Don't look at this, church, as, well, we've got a bunch of Sanford students who probably majored in religion. Maybe one of them will be called and God will send them. Consider how God could use each of us. Consider how God could use you. Maybe it's not to transplant for the next 30 years overseas or 22 years overseas, but maybe God could use you for a shorter period of time. In the past year alone, your prayers and your gifts helped 3,692 IMB missionaries. That's how many we are right now serving overseas. I guess 3,690 because two of us are serving here working overseas, but you get the picture. Those missionaries directly influenced the planting of 13,898 churches, trained almost 19,000 pastors, and we saw almost 53,000 people baptized last year. That's because you helped us. Now, what's not reported in those numbers right there is the impact that we have that we can never count, which is as we train pastors, as we go into a people group and we give them God's word for the first time, and the work that they do and the people that they bring to Christ and how those churches grow, those aren't reflected there because we can't account for all the stuff that God does. He's doing so much through our national partners all over the world. That is a little bit of what's happening. You, our church, have helped support not only our family, but over 3,600 other missionaries serving in countries. In most of the countries of the world, if you can imagine a country, we probably have some sort of connection to that work in those works. So we need a people with a different backgrounds. I want to give you a few examples. I do some training for our new missionaries as they go out every four times a year. We train new missionaries that are sent out. And I've been going up and doing training with our new missionaries and helping prepare them. And I was just listening this last time I was there, I wonder what kind of people are here. Who are these people who are being sent out by Southern Baptist. This last group of people that I was at, there were about 60 missionaries being sent out. One of them was a former NFL football player. One of them left his business that he had been running and is going to go overseas. There was a physical therapist. There was an accountant. Several young college graduates. A former gym operator, business leaders, a few grandparents, young families, singles, married. In that group of about 60 people, all those people were represented. I was a little surprised with the former NFL player. I will confess, we don't get those a lot, but he was there. What did these people have in common? They had in common a desire to go and tell people about Jesus, to follow the calling that God had given them to go. So First Baptist Birmingham, your support helps send those 60 people. Your support's helping support a former NFL player go be a missionary. If you would talk about how you can go, if you're thinking, well, I'm kind of interested in that. Maybe I could go. Maybe not for 22 years, but maybe, you know, I'm at retirement age and I could give a couple of years. I could give a year, 2 years, 3 years. I'd love to sit down and talk to you. Not right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to make you go get a passport. But I would love to sit down over a meal and share with you opportunities that God can use your background, your unique background, and He can use you. So, how do Southern Baptists fund missions? Well, together, we can send more missionaries to reach more people in more places throughout the world. Together. Individually, we can't do a lot. First Baptist Birmingham probably could not support one missionary family living overseas. Of this congregation, what we're giving right now to missions, we probably could not sustain one missionary family. But together, we can sustain over 3,600 missionaries. That's the model that we have. That's the beauty of Southern Baptist. It's the one thing that we cooperate. Well, we could probably cooperate on more than one thing, but it's the one thing that I'm happy about, that I'm always telling people, this is what we do well. This is what we're doing. We work together, we collaborate, and we send out people. And we pray for them, and we give financially. I'm very thankful, because I do believe First Baptist gives generously to missions. It is amazing. When I tell people, my friends, about our church, and I say, man, we're so happy with how much First Baptist supports the IMB. So if that's First Baptist Church, and they probably are, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people. Then I tell them how many people we run in Sunday school, and they're blown away. So sincerely, I want to say thank you for how much you give. I really, really appreciate it. I do want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to pray about, make this a matter of prayer this week. How can we as a family support missions? I feel bad asking you to give more, but I do believe that our church could do more. I believe that our church could support missions more. I think we could send more. I believe we could send people out of our congregation to be missionaries in other places. So this week, I want you to pray about how we can support more missionaries out of First Baptist. I want to share about one example of what we do, and it's in Mexico. It's a story together project that we've been involved in. It's come to a conclusion, and it's the type of project that we're going to be working in North Africa and Southeast Asia to do, and in another place in Mexico as well. southern Mexico is a part of the a country that is highly indigenous. Lots and lots of people groups that were there pre-Columbus. And these people live in remote areas. They speak languages that predate, so they're not anywhere related to Spanish. These are languages that were spoken in Mexico long before the Spaniards came. They're difficult languages, really difficult languages. And most of those languages don't have resources, don't have the Bible in their language. So you would say, well, I mean, they probably speak some Spanish. And some of them do. Some of those people groups have people who speak Spanish, but it's usually at a very poor level. Certainly not good enough, not well enough to read for comprehension in Spanish. And so we set out to work with 8 different people groups to help them over a 2-year period of time create God's Word in an oral format. So if you will, a meta-narrative from creation all the way through the New Testament into the church. So we created all of the stories that make that up and helped them produce is not the good word, but craft, make these stories in their own languages. So you would think, well, that'd just be really quick and easy. It took 2 years to get about 40 stories done. And we did that by intensive trainings where we'd come in and we'd work on one story and they would record it and then we would test it and then we would listen to it and then we'd back translate it to Spanish and then I would look at it and go, wow, that's not what the Bible says. And this is back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until we were really happy. They were really happy with the story that they got. So at the end of this, fast forward, it's a 2-year project. 7 of the 8 groups finished. They've got fully developed panoramas of the Bible and the Book of Acts and the stories from the Book of Acts that they've crafted. They've recorded them, not so they can just go out and play them for people, but so that if there's ever a question about whether or not the story was told accurately, they can go back and listen to it. But the best story was this old lady that was in this group who came, who didn't speak Spanish, couldn't read, and she was there. And her pastor so everything's all in Spanish in their congregation, which tells you what people understand. I mean, I could stand up right now and start preaching in Spanish. How many of you would understand what I'm teaching? Will, put your hand down. You wouldn't. But but that's sort of what we're expecting. Like, they're using Spanish, and they're speaking Pame or Mixtec. And so for the first time, this pastor starts preaching using stories in their heart language. And this lady is excited. I mean, she loves these stories. And she's part of the consulting team and part of the people creating these stories. And as she's creating these stories, she comes back to the second training so excited. And her pastor comes up and is translating for her to me. And she was telling me how she is now the person who goes all over their little village telling everybody the stories. And she's the go-to person. So the least of these, the person who has the least capability, the person who doesn't speak any Spanish, who can't read anything, now she is the one who's going and telling people about Jesus. And that's what we do in these Story Together projects. We're able to take God's Word and put it in a format that people can understand. Interestingly, 2 of these 8 people groups are now doing Bible translation projects. So they're actually in the process of doing written scripture, textual Bible translation, working with some other partners of ours. It's a long-term process because we're looking at probably 10 years to get the New Testament, 20, 25 more years to get the Old Testament. But in the meantime, they've got all of these stories that we've created for them, and they're creating more stories, and they know the Bible, I dare say, better than some of the people who come to churches in the United States on a Sunday morning. They know God's Word. They have internalized God's Word, and they know it. So that's sort of what we're doing now. So whatever my acronym that Rich came up with there, That's what our job, part of what our job is to help go to people groups like this and help them create Bible stories that they can then use. And we partner with other people to help hopefully get Bibles translated for them one day, but if they don't, they've at least got the stories from the Bible. So, once again, I want to just say thank you for your faithful participation in Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And whether or not you give $20 next week or you give $20,000, pray and ask the Lord, what is it that you would have our family do? What is it you would have us contribute to that? You know, before we went overseas, before we ever went overseas, we came to First Baptist. So we were appointed. We came here. We met with the people in the office. We got to meet the Hutchins. They were on stateside assignment. We saw the mission house in 1997. And we saw it at that point. And then every stateside has been back here 22 years later. We still consider this our home church. I want to challenge you with this, and I'm about to wrap this up. There are two types of people in the world. People who need Jesus and people who know Jesus. That's it. There's not a third type. You either need Jesus or you know Jesus. If you know Jesus, we all need to continue trusting in Him and growing in our faith. All of us need to grow in our faith. We need discipleship. We need accountability from fellow believers. We need groups like we have that meet on Monday or Tuesday mornings here at the church, where several of us guys get together and we just work through Bible studies together. You need that. If you're not in something like that, I encourage you to get involved in something like that. If you're in the first camp and you don't know Jesus, I can tell you that this church would love to help you understand what it means to be a Christ follower. Not just a Christian with a little C, but someone who follows Christ. Someone who is giving all that they can to give God the glory. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I encourage you to talk to someone about that, and we would love to help you. If you're a believer and you've trusted in Christ alone and you serve Him as your King, consider what it is that the Lord would have you do as you continue to grow in your faith, as all of us should be. I want to throw out some options here. These are not the only options there are, but here are a few options. Going. Could it be that to grow, for you to continue trusting in Christ, He wants you to go? Go locally or go internationally. I'm not saying I'm wanting to send you to the Middle East tomorrow. It could be that you could go be involved in a local ministry that some of the people in our church are involved in. Right here. It could be as simple as going and sitting with people in the emergency room and sharing with them. Going can be local and it can be international. But I ask you that if you're not involved in something like that, to pray about it. That could be during our invitation or some other time. We'd love to connect and share with you some of those opportunities. The other thing that if you are someone who has a relationship with Christ, I ask that you pray. Continue to pray for missionaries and unreached people groups. I give you two, and you've got a little bulletin insert. I give you two projects that we're going to be involved in starting in 2020, and they're going to be multi-year projects. One is in North Africa. One's in Southeast Asia. The Southeast Asia one is really set to start at the end of the first quarter next year. The one in North Africa is supposed to start the fourth week of January, and I still don't have a whole lot of clarity on what we're... And it's not a place that you want to go into... halfway prepared. So just pray for that North Africa project that's starting up. It is tremendous. There's so many opportunities and there's such a hunger, but it's in a place that is not welcoming. And so we do ask that you pray for the details to be worked out with that. And then giving. If you're in that first camp, second camp, and you are a Christ follower, I ask that you earnestly consider how you can give financially to support local missions and international missions of Southern Baptist. How can you give financially to help that? And sending, church, I ask that you send missionaries. I ask that we pray that God would call up people from our congregation to go and celebrate it when people go locally and when they go globally. So go, pray, give, and send. Because, as Revelation 7:9 says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That is what we're trying to see accomplished. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for First Baptist Birmingham. Thank you, Father, for how First Baptist ministers to people locally. And thank you, Father, for how they've ministered to us even when we've been overseas. This morning, Father, I do pray that our church would always, always look for opportunities to be involved in ministry here and all over the world. And I thank you, Father, that this is a church that gives generously. Thank you for how they've blessed our family over the last 22 years. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Donnie, for sharing a challenging message for us to believe, to go, to send. That's what we're about as Southern Baptists. As we come into the season of international missions and as we remember the Lottie Moon offering, we are doing those things that Donnie described, touching those people, remembering that there's still a majority of people in the world who have never heard the gospel. And we have Baptists who are eager to do that. What do you need to do? Two things. Next week when we come, we're going to have our bowls here at the front. We're going to be bringing our offerings to the front as a way of giving sacrificially and in a way that is an act of worship. And we want to come, we want to meet and exceed our $50,000 goal next Sunday morning. So you pray and you be ready to come and to be a part of what we're doing. And then the second thing is respond to the message that he just shared with us. It may be that you're here, you're not a believer. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you know you need to. And in just a moment, as we stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you're not a believer, I would love to help you come to know Christ. Dr. Hutchins is here. People all around this room would love to help you know Christ. As we stand and sing, you come to the front, and we'll help you to know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to become a part of this church. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together.